Hi, I'm Paulie Milam, driver of the number 42 Sprint car at East Bay TVARA, and you're listening to Real Racing USA with Bill Green, Jack Smith, and Rick Andrews.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back a vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
A new concept in driver and team promotion has begun. McAllister Sports Management and Carnegie.com have combined to bring you the ultimate in motorsports marketing. Nothing beats winning, but it does nothing for you or your team if not promoted to the correct group of individuals. Together, Jack Smith and Scott McAllister have over 35 years' experience in the Florida racing industry and have developed a program to meet all your marketing needs, including custom-designed websites, professional and prompt press releases, audio-visual presentations and distribution, autograph cards, logo design, and media skills development. Achieve the exposure you need to catch the attention of potential sponsors and race team owners in a unique and professional style. No stale websites or cookie-cutter press releases. We analyze your needs and tailor each project and program to your specific goals. Call 352-804-0078 or log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or...
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
4 minutes.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score with an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, oh Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Real Racing USA back on the air live from the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in Lower Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Andrews. How you doing tonight?
I'm Bill Green, and if we get any lower in Tampa Bay, we'll be in Sarasota.
Who are you?
Jack Smith.
Oh,
still. Hi,
Jack. Still Jack Smith.
Jack's still recovering from the weekend.
Yeah, you got me going all over this damn state to cover racing.
That's
12
right.
12 hours of racing. Guy's going to go around in circles for 12
no,
hours.
No, we're not even doing it because you walked in here 3 weeks ago and said, hey, guys, we should go do 12 hours of Ocala. And I said, well, sure, why not? I'll load my stuff up and go. I was the only one there. You guys were sleeping in.
Did Bill get his cookies this week?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I had fun.
You did a really good job, Bill.
I had.
You did a wonderful job. And
wonderful.
It was fun.
It was fun
really
to listen
fun.
To.
It was fun.
Thanks.
It was fun.
I was dead
I
tired.
I worked hard, too. I was sitting in my living room with the air conditioner on.
Yeah, I know.
Getting update reports.
I actually worked that morning thinking, well, these guys will be there. I can sleep in a car a couple hours.
You didn't really think I was going, did you?
I worked Friday night, man.
I worked Friday night, too.
I got up, went to work at 7 o'clock in the morning so I could be done. Plenty of time to drive to Ocala and do everything. So I was up for, like, I think it was almost 38 hours straight before I could get a 2-hour sleep. And then I got right back up and did the Saturday night show.
You know, the only
thing I went to sleep.
You know, the only thing wrong with Ocala is it's 100 miles north of Tampa.
It is a ways up there. How many?
Are we done with the Bill Green pity party?
Yes, we're done.
Okay. I'm okay.
Moving right on.
Hey, we want to welcome the TBARA. Okay, there's
then,
12
then,
of them in the house.
And then the other half's out in the parking lot.
Yeah, the other half's out in the parking lot. Are they worried somebody's going to steal their cars? Because they're all sitting on the porch going, man, stay away from my car.
Who's that guy in that yellow shirt back there?
We don't have the music.
Yeah. One's bald, one's without.
Hey, real quick, Jack, we got to give Bobby Deal props for last night, man, recognizing us as media. It was really nice of him. I was proud.
Maybe if I throw him a bone, they won't talk about me anymore.
Nah, that's not going to happen.
I know. Bobby knows we're
all. Well, you know, 12 hours of Calabella. It was an awesome deal, man.
It was awesome. And it was something I hope in the end turns out to be a historical thing that people look back on and go, they did it first. Because a short track, a small 3/8 mile asphalt track, doing a 12-hour event was no easy task. Wasn't an easy task for the 17 people who started that race and had three driver co-drivers each. But in the end, 9 of them were still running when the race came to its closing half hour. 5 of them were going to get paid. 4 of those people driving around that track knew they were not getting any money. And they also were pretty well aware that they were 300 to 500 laps down. I mean 300 to 500 laps down.
Yeah, they had to know.
And they continued to drive until the red light came on and they stopped after 12 hours.
Drove
to prove
11 and a half hours before there was a wreck, right?
Well, no, there was only 3 things happened all night long. One was we had an engine blow up in the second hour.
Right.
Then about 8 o'clock
that
in the morning.
I feel bad.
Yeah, 8 o'clock in the morning we had the axle come out of the guy running in fifth place. So the back axle came out. And then we finally had a wreck when the guy actually had a ball joint on the number one car.
The eventual winner.
He had a ball joint finally fall apart on that car after some 2,028 laps. And it fell off. He drove into the wall a little bit, went down to the X to go back to the pits, and clipped a guy coming across in front of him. He may have done that on purpose to stop the clock. But then he drove into the pits, got it fixed, repaired, came back out, still won by, I guess, 52 laps or something. But
he was up enough laps so they could do that.
And some folks came down from Tennessee, Decatur, Tennessee.
Now, that's a story in itself, and Jack kind of touched on it on the message board and on the website. They came down. They were dirt track racers with a mini stock and decided, hey, this will be a fun weekend. Let's go run 12 hours of stupidity. And so they came on down, put that mini stock, bought 4 new tires. That's all they brought with them. Put it on the asphalt and raced to a second place finish.
$2,500.
What about the guy who came into the pits and needed a pit stop and his crew was asleep?
Oh, yeah. That was a van. It was an old van. It was like he was the guy that was 538 laps down. I remember that.
Bill was excited about
and,
this.
And he drove into the pits at about 6 in the morning, drove into the pits because his tire blew. Bam! You hear him on the back stretch. He's blah, 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 down into the pit area. Drives up in front of his pit. Nobody's there to help him. They're all asleep inside. He had to get out of the car, go around, wake people up, get the jack going, get it going, and it took him about 12 minutes to get back out.
Next year, Mike Peters said that the owner of Ocala Speedway, he said next year they're probably going to run it like from 9 in the morning until 9 at night, have a party and a concert in the infield, and it'll probably be a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, tell him please, and I'll be there at 6 o'clock to start
covering.
Well,
that was a good deal, but there was so much going on this weekend all over the state. You know, we started Friday night out at DeSoto. 22 super late models. It was the Jeff and Jeff show.
And Jeff Sloan, your pictures are at Late Model Digest, and I've been told they're going to get them in.
Schofield won the Triple Crown by 1 point.
And that was pretty cool. And
But the question I got is
a whole drama. Coming.
What happened at Bronson?
Well, before you even got to Bronson, I got to tell you, the whole Triple Crown was screwed up on night one at John's Sapricone's DeSoto Super Speedway. The whole damn thing got screwed up right then.
Because
when our buddy and good friend Robert Yoho, who had this thing picked. He was going to be the Triple Crown winner of 2006.
No doubt about it. He told me that in the pits.
And just James Glover, took him out on the back straight, and ended Robert Yoho's chances. Unfair.
Could you imagine if Showtime... You guys have seen Showtime in TBARA. He passed through there, too. If Showtime had won the Triple Crown, we'd still be hearing about it. His head would not fit through the door.
This would be the Yoho show. He'd pay us.
Oh, God. It'd be something different. But he's a great character. We love him, and we have a bunch
of... So Sloan wins the first one, Reginahan the second one, Anderson the third. But, I mean, really, what do you think, what is your opinion on why nine cars at Bronson?
I can sum it up in two words.
I was told by a lot
of... Say Citrus County, they only had 17.
He didn't ask you.
Yeah, but that's 17
hey, Bill,
more
hey,
than
Bill,
you
Bill,
have.
Bill, trust me, he didn't ask you. He asked me.
Yeah, anyway.
He asked me.
Yeah.
Two words.
I'm in the
Citrus
middle.
County.
I was told that a lot of drivers said they just prefer not to race at that track. I mean, it's just the track.
But see, Citrus County,
did say they didn't want to drive that far.
But you didn't have the 22 that we had at DeSoto. I think you had one. Maybe not even one at Citrus County.
I understand.
So,
you know, if you lived in Virginia, it would be like driving to Connecticut.
Yeah, but they showed up at 18 at Ocala.
Okay, for all you geographical majors, we're going to Connecticut.
And then they wouldn't let John Birdie announce up there.
And what's the deal about John? John getting blackballed
Why?
From a couple of tracks, and he's really a nice guy, and he does a great job. I mean, he's working hard at what he's doing.
I don't know. He's it's Mr. Crazy. Rogers. I don't know.
I mean, everybody's...
Mr. Excitement.
Yeah, Mr. Excitement.
Mr. Excitement. He was exciting. What about Schumacher, man? Michael Schumacher finally going to retire. You know, this is going off out of stock car world. But 7 world championships.
He didn't get it.
Frank Kimmel is the only 8 championship winner.
Isn't that amazing?
ARCA.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I mean, Michael Schumacher, you know, Dale Earnhardt.
Who's won the most championships in the TBRA? Anybody know? I know Taylor Andrews had 2, I think, and Rodriguez had probably 3 or 4.
Probably Rodriguez.
So, I mean, those guys.
And then you traveled up to Lakeland.
That's a bunch.
Yeah, Lakeland.
He didn't travel up to Lakeland. He came down from Oklahoma.
He came down.
Well, it's still up there.
I was amazed. They had a very good crowd. They had about, I don't know, 2,500 or so, maybe 3,000. I don't know. It was a lot of people there. A lot more than I thought.
A lot of people at $25 a head.
I expected it to be a big flop on the fan side, but it was actually a very, very good crowd. It was a good deal.
There was a little noise being made there on the Metro.
Well, you ain't drawing us into it.
Why not?
No, because you draw me and Rick into it, so we're the bad guys.
That's
yeah, right.
Right.
They never talk about you.
You want to go there?
They never talk about you.
The whole race at USA was about the kids, and they didn't have a driver's autograph session, so everybody that brought stuff for the kids didn't get to give it to them.
Well, the stunt show was pretty cool, and I guess it took a little longer or something. I don't know. It was pretty cool.
What about Patrick Thomas, man? You know, they built that car specifically to win that race in Lakeland.
Well, he was 6 tenths faster than everybody
else.
They added 50 pounds to him, and he was still 6 tenths faster than everybody else.
And they found out why later.
And then they DQ'd him. But you know what? He owned up on it on the message board. Straight up. I mean,
there's still some stuff floating around.
What did they actually DQ him for? Does anybody know?
Illegal camshaft.
Illegal camshaft. What kind of camshaft was he using?
We'll have to call him up and find out.
We go 560 or something.
All right, Bill.
Hang on, Rick's taking.
He's talking to Dave Steele on the telephone.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Well, tell Dave to hang in there. He can't be on the air yet. We're not ready for him. He can just hold his horses. I don't care how good he is. I love Dave Steele. He hears that, he's gonna kill me.
So, Bill, they had a good car, a lot of fans there. They had a really good car count. They had relatively few cautions for Lakeland. And it was an amazing. The only thing that people could gripe about, I guess, was they didn't have the autograph session. Other than that, there wasn't too much to gripe about. It was a pretty good day.
You think so?
Yeah, it was a pretty
the
good
autograph
day.
Session was the only thing missing.
Yeah.
Snowball Derby coming up, man. We're gonna have live reports. I'm headed to the Snowball Derby.
Imitating all day long.
That's right. I can't spell originator.
That's right.
Yep. But, yeah, we're gonna have live reports from the Snowball Derby.
So we're here at Snook River Grill tonight. We got a car. We got, six or seven or eight TBARA sprint cars out in the
parking lot.
Get some of them pictures up later on tonight.
How about a big hand for all those that took the time and the effort to bring their sprint cars to Snook River Grill? We appreciate that. Thanks so very much. We know you guys do everything you can to promote your sport. That's why you are the best traveling series in the nation.
Hey, Bill Hunt, did you get these guys to get Pabst Blue Ribbon put in this place yet? You know that's your job. Sprint car Bruce is here, too. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen Bruce.
Okay, now, I've named a lot of drivers in my day. I've given some nicknames away. But I have to say, and I think all of you in this room would agree with me, that Mr. Bill Hunt, sitting here with the glasses and the white hair, looks like Father Time to me. And that's what I have called
Santa
him
Claus.
For a year, is Father Time. And I think that should be his moniker.
Remember Derek Strong?
I got other monikers.
Remember Derek Strong?
No.
You don't?
No.
NBA player that ran.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was working with the guy who used to run the fuel.
Right. He's going to start racing ASA.
Competition 101.
Really?
Yeah, he's joining ASA.
He bought his way in there, too? I mean, he's gotten that good?
He's going to run the... Jesus, Bill. I'm done.
You guys wanted to... I told people I would be honest. And I have
why don't they
honest.
Talk about him? Why don't they talk about Bill?
Well, they do. He wrecks in turn two.
No, that's not what I hear, but anyway.
Okay, we're going to go to break now, and then we're going
to
come back.
Oh,
and
if we have to.
Just sprint car
to
culture.
Yeah, let's have some more fun.
The sprint car culture.
Sprint right. car culture.
Sprint cars. Check that's what's out, coming up. Bro. Wing sprints. These pilots know how to make it happen, and we have got the sprint car lady in the house. Bye.
Hi, this is Rick Bristol, driver of the number 30 Toyota Industrial Equipment Florida Lift System, Southern States Toyota Lift Truck, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Bumper Sticker Rider.
Mr. Bumper Sticker Rider.
Oh, Christ.
Never has one man written so much for so many. Without you, the world may never have known you can't hug with nuclear arms. And just like you, I too would rather be fishing, or square dancing, or even shopping. I owe, so off to work I go. You said it, brother. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh bar to the bumper. Thanks to you, I know it's perfectly all right to honk if I'm horny.
Honk, honk, beep, beep, honk.
Bud Light beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
But this family right now needs, first of all, a lot of prayers and support. Disease is, it's a form of leukemia. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th, and it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race, and that's what I want. I want it to be run professional, fair, but in the end, everybody has a good time, and the family benefits. And it's basically it. We're going to have mini cup races, legend cars, and we're going to have the big truck race. But the neat thing on Friday night is we're going to have first round qualifying for the trucks. Then we're going to run the mini cups, junior mini cups, the mini cup adult guy. And then we're going to have barbecue and music and a celebrity auction. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and building construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
CarKnight.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarKnight.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarKnight.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Karnak gets it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back at the Snook River Grill, and we are celebrating the TVARA, 25-plus years of this organization's existence, and they are having a grand time and doing a great job.
This weekend, the high banks of DeSoto Super Speedway.
Super Speedway. Now, last time they were at DeSoto, did they go caution-free?
No.
Oh, okay. Somebody, they did it just recently. They did that. They went.
No, that was the longest sprint car race I think I ever saw.
Okay, let's not go there. Right now, joining us on the phone and right here live in the studio are president and past president of the TBRA, Taylor Andrews, on the phone. Taylor, how you doing tonight?
Great. How y'all?
Hey, we're doing a great job, man. And Don Ream sitting here with the microphone with us. Don, how you up to, buddy?
Oh, I'm great.
You finished eating yet? I'm sorry about that.
No, I just got my food when you said I had to come up here and do this.
Hey,
I had three guys tell me that they'd stuff. Watch my food for me, so I'm sure that it'll be okay.
Yeah, but one of them's Don Zappercone.
You'll have to listen for Taylor through the speaker, but Taylor said you eat all the time. Anyway, Taylor, take us through the early years TBRA. I don't know that, Don, were you involved in the very beginning or just when you finally took over?
Well, I was involved when Taylor was president and before that even, so...
Cool. But Taylor, you were there kind of when they started this mess, and it used to run asphalt and dirt, and that was one of the things that there's only like two or three or four of you drivers, I don't know, still alive maybe, but even still around, that did all of that traveling back and forth, changing cars over to do both dirt and asphalt in those early years.
Now, I don't know about being still alive. I think there's a bunch of us still alive, but Don was involved in the thing way before I was. I come along, hell, Robert Smith and guys like that, they were well ahead of my time. I just came along and bought a modified and became friends with Don, and actually Don probably helped me win as much stuff as anybody. He just kind of helped me along. He kind of accelerated what I was doing, and then I got involved in the politics of the thing and started running it on and off, and always relied on Don for, you know, information and advice as when I was running the thing, because he was always involved selling parts and tires and things of that nature, so it was just natural when it went to him that it would go that way.
Now, did you already have the situation as they do now where they go out and they write contracts with tracks and they actually have a deal, you know, in writing as opposed to just a handshake like there used to be years ago?
Yes, we started doing contracts, and that way we understood what we had to do, the track understood what they had to do, and it worked out real well. And like you say, we ran dirt and pavement for a long time, and the thing kind of cycled back and forth. You know, we'd have a little more pavement sometimes, a little more dirt. And when Will Cagle came along and took over East Bay, we kind of dropped out of the dirt thing, and that's when the pavement thing got real strong, and it's been going ever since.
Well, I tell you what, now, these guys travel the country. You hear about them left and right from the tracks. The tracks love it when the TBRA comes because they know what they're getting for a product, and they know they're going to get some people in the seats. As Rick will attest to, I believe DeSoto picks up a few.
Yeah, we pick up a couple more people. Taylor, you won three championships?
Say that again a little bit. A plane just went overhead.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
You won three championships?
Four.
Four TBRA championships. What was it like progressing from driver to president back to driver?
That wasn't a problem. I mean, I was driving, and at times I'd be driving, at times I'd be, I also drove a lot of times when I was a president, so that wasn't a big problem. It was just something, you know, when it was time to drive, you just put everything out of your mind, you drove, and you came back, and you took care of whatever the club matters were when the race was over.
Were the problems still the same back in, you know, the 70s and 80s when they were running sprint cars as they are today when it comes to the issues of tires, fuel, and the basic commodities that deal with racing?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, you know, yeah, that hasn't changed much. I mean, we used to sit through meetings, and I'm sure Don still sits through them, and we'd sit there, and there'd be owners in there, and they'd want to raise the purse $100 or $50, and they would say, now, and you're running this expensive race car, and it costs you a lot to go around, and you'd say, now, if we can get this purse up another $100, $150, everybody'd be all right. Oh, yeah, we'd be fine. So, yeah, we used to go through that. I'm sure he goes through it. I went through it, and it's still basically, you know, it's a hobby, but Florida, there's no question about it, is Florida, and the TBRA has got the best race car drivers in the country, probably. I mean, I don't think anybody denies that.
Well, it's the most popular series on Carnac.com. We've done surveys almost every year since 1998, and every year the TBRA is far and above the most popular traveling series in the state.
Don, whenever you took over in these meetings and things, did you realize, being the guy who sold the tires and the fuel and parts and stuff, that all these other things went on behind the scenes to make this show happen?
Well, I had been kind of involved, like Taylor said. You know, they asked my opinion about things just because I was at the racetracks all the time, and basically that's how I inherited this job. They couldn't give it to nobody else, so they ended up, you know, well, you're at the races every week because you're there to sell parts and fuel and tires, and so why don't you just be president? So that's kind of how I ended up 10 or 11 years ago being the president of this organization.
Now, you're the longest running president, I would imagine.
Yeah, I guess I'm the silliest or stupidest. I'm not sure which it is. Because
I think all the above.
Yeah, I think you're right, Taylor. You know, you know how it is. You can't give it away. They cuss you out and tell you that you didn't do the job right and everything else. But then nobody wants the job.
Is that the most difficult part of it? Just having to put up with the frustrations that people come to you with about the racing for that particular night at that particular track that something went wrong?
Well, yeah, I would say that's probably the hardest part.
I can remember when Don, the first couple years Don was doing it, and people would come to me, oh, you need to take it back, you need to do this. I said, why? They go, because Don, you know, he's just got too many interests involved in this, and he's just got too much to gain. I said, you're absolutely right. I said, the guy, that's what he does. He travels that circuit. He sells those tires, and he has a conflict of interest. It's a good conflict of interest, and you better hope he stays in there.
So far,
it's proven to be correct.
That's probably true, because if you went away and you stopped doing the tires and the fuel and stuff, it wouldn't be a whole lot of incentive to keep things motoring along as well as they have been these last 11 years. I mean,
well, that's true. This is not a real paying job. So.
I started saying, I don't think you're getting rich. I ain't seen the Porsche in your yard or anything else yet.
Right,
so,
right.
I know you're.
We only have, in our whole organization, we only have two paid employees, and I'm not one of them.
Neither am I.
Neither are you, Taylor.
You weren't ever either, were you, Taylor?
No, I don't remember getting any money either.
Right, right.
Hey, I'm going to ask you two guys, because you probably know, which race sanctioned by the TBRA has ever drawn the most number of cars, so to speak? How many sprint cars have you gotten in one place?
Ooh, I couldn't answer that one.
See, I need Dick Freely here, don't I? Dick was
yeah,
the
we
got
to call Dick for that.
Dick was the man.
Yeah. We've had, during speed weeks in the last couple of years, we've had in excess of 30 cars at some of the races during February.
That's cool. You're drawing a few from out of state and stuff that come on?
Yeah, we have, usually we have 6 to 8 cars that come from out of state. This year we've had 67 different drivers participate with the club.
Wow.
We've had 63 different car owners race in 2006.
Amazing. Awesome numbers.
Our average car count has been 25.75 cars per show.
That's a full field.
25?
Yeah.
Show?
We've been drawing good cars.
Which place drew the most this year so far? I know you got a few left.
New Smyrna.
Well, like I said, Speed Week.
Oh, okay. And those are points paying races, I take it?
Every race that we run is a points race. That's how we make this work.
There you go.
You know, because we do have a good point fund at the end of the year. It'll be real good. The owners get the point money. The drivers get trophies.
Very good. I got to ask you now, there's no track owners listening, okay? What's the toughest part about dealing with the tracks themselves in these days, the 2006, so to speak, not comparing it, but what is the toughest part to deal
with?
There's
no track owners listening?
No, there's not. Just pretend there's not.
Oh, okay, just pretend.
Probably the hardest part is just working with 7 or 8 different racetracks and trying to accommodate their dates to make it work for them and also make it work for ourselves. We don't want to run back-to-back shows any more than we have to. I try to, when I set out at the beginning of each year to schedule races, I try to schedule them on an every other week basis. Well, that usually goes upside down pretty shortly just because of the, this racetrack wants to run this time and it works into their schedule and things of that nature. And you have to kind of give and take. And that's probably the hardest part, making everybody happy, including the membership.
Was that the same with you, Taylor? Was it just the same kind of thing, dealing with the tracks?
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty much. I mean, I had a lot of problems this time. We were trying to get the purse to go up a little bit. We'd have a little bit of trouble with the, of course, you know, a racetrack owner, God forbid, he don't want to pay any money, which I understand. I don't like to pay things either, but, I mean, that was a problem, and car count would be a problem at times and things of that nature. But yeah, mostly I agree with Don on scheduling. Scheduling, because each racetrack owner, you know, the date to him was with the date he wanted, and it was a problem scheduling dates. Sometimes they'd all want one date, and you just have to decide who you're going to give it to. And as you mentioned, those contracts came along, we'd send the contracts out, and whoever signed the contract on whatever given date was the person that got that date.
Huh. Now, in the meantime, have there been times when you've had to change a date, like apparently the one at New Smyrna will be changing that date? Does that create a problem of trying to squeeze it in and find a place for
it?
Well,
in that particular case with New Smyrna, we only had one open date before our season ended, which is, our season ends on the 11th of November. So we only had the 4th open. Well, that didn't work in their schedule, so basically we had to cancel that show, which is understandable. I mean, you know, taking consideration of the circumstances. But we have, this year, I think we have had maybe one show that we have not been able to go back from rain or whatever and go back in and reschedule it and make it work for the racetrack. It may be 2 or 3 weeks or a little longer before we can get back there. But, you know, if it's a rainy night, I've started doing this, and it seems to have helped us a little bit. I've started, as soon as it looks like it's going to be a rain and we're going to have problems, I go to the office and I sit down with whoever's in charge. Let's get a rain date. And usually that scares it off. I mean, it's worked more so than wait until after it rains and then gets canceled, you know.
Does the length of the Florida racing season make it add to the difficulty and all of that?
Well, our goal, or my goal, and seems to be the club seems to like to do this. They want to run about 22 to 26 shows. So, you know, 24 shows is...
By the end of the year, you usually wind up with 24 or something.
Yeah. Right now, if we complete the three that we have left without any rainouts or anything else, we will have run 22 shows. We've run 19 so far.
So what is the most amount of shows you've run in a year?
Well, when we ran both the pavement, I mean, we ran 40-some shows.
Right. Uh-huh. So, I mean, how did it just progress down and go down to a lower number? Or?
When the dirt went well, down. You see, you had two separate deals. You had guys that raced pavement, and you had guys that raced dirt. There weren't a lot of cars going back and forth or teams that had two cars.
So, yeah, I went 5 or 6 probably.
Do what, Taylor?
I bet there wasn't 5 or 6 at some time.
Exactly. So you actually had two complete series.
And there were two sets of points and everything, correct?
Yes.
You had a dirt champion, an asphalt champion,
yep,
and then
an overall. Right.
It's fairly similar to USCS.
You wouldn't mention that.
Well, okay, well...
Oh, that was a bad, bad, bad word.
Well, it's
Rick.
Still similar, though. I mean, they run a dirt series, and they run an asphalt series.
Don, we have
same thing as USAC.
Don, we have in the house your two of your newest young stars coming up. You got Michael Smith and Eric McMillan. Where do you see the future of TBARA and sprint car racing on asphalt in Florida over the next say 5 years?
Don, before you answer that, I got to get Taylor off the phone because he's trying to deal with his crew chief and some sickness.
That's
and stuff.
Okay. Go ahead. It's fine.
Are you sure?
I'm fine.
All right, man. Good. As long as you're okay. Right. I just didn't want to hook you up and get rid of you.
I would say that, you know, the future for the TBARA is just outstanding. It's growing. The car count's coming up. The racetracks. They kind of, you know, we don't have to ask and beg and plead to get races any longer. We're fortunate enough now that we put on a good enough show. I've talked to promoters, and they tell us that when we're there, they make money. We're a necessary evil, be honest about this whole deal.
That's what they say about us, too.
Yeah.
Well,
said they don't pay us.
But if we don't make them money, they're not going to have us back. I mean, it's simple as that.
Oh, yeah.
And we seem to be able to get people through the front grandstands plus the back grandstands. There's a lot of series that go, traveling series, that they're back gate driven, and they don't put a lot of people in the grandstand. We're fortunate enough to be able to do on both sides.
Oh, yeah. Fans that are just fans that like to be in the pits and
right.
see things happen, they want to come to a TBI race because you can see a lot of what's going on in the stands or in the pit area, and it's an awesome treat.
But that, you know, that goes back to something we were talking about early. It's the mantra of the sprint car family. I mean, sprint
the culture.
Car race, the culture, it's completely different than the normal racing. I mean,
yeah, you've got a few feuds that have lasted, but most of the time these guys all get along.
No, there's some
folks
about
help
the
each other
there's some people in this them. There's some people in this room right now, and at East Bay during the Winter Nationals, you see this. There's people who they're sprint car racing, and then that other stuff they call it stock cars or something.
Yeah, right.
They ain't got no time.
They tolerate it till the sprint car. I mean, yeah. I watch them in the grandstands right. when I'm announcing the race. They'll
sit
there till the race is over and then leave.
Taylor said it best a number of years back. He said, you know, the stock cars, they're not safe. Look at all the bars they got in them.
That's right. Hell, the dangers get catch on fire. Anything could happen there.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this many times, haven't we, Taylor, that they weren't very safe. They got too many bars in them and all that other stuff. And you know.
Well, plus you've got the lure. Let's face it, you got the lure of a sprint car. It's an outlaw sprint car. There's only a handful of people who will drive them. And that's the lure that people want to see. They're wild. They're fast. They're nothing like a stock car. They'll go around there and lap a stock car every two laps. They go around one. And that's basically what people want to see in those cars. And then they are fast. But they're not as dangerous as people build them up to be. But as long as they have that lure, they're fine.
And not to mention that when they do wreck, they're pretty spectacular.
Yeah,
that's
only on
people come to watch.
Remember that day at when that sprint car it was in that run, what you brung?
That was Kenny Adams.
Kenny Adams.
Yeah, Kenny Adams. Yeah.
God, yeah. That was amazing.
The first one, yeah.
That was amazing.
It was unbelievable.
They've done a lot of wild things with sprint cars, but now the current sprint car chassis and so forth has evolved from what used to be the old super modifieds, I believe, back in the 60s. But really in the last 5 or 6 years, there's been a few minor changes, but there haven't been a whole lot of changes, have there?
Not really. Probably the biggest change in expense, and it is an expense that everybody is experimenting with, is shocks now. I mean, they're just spending tons of money
they're
on
expensive,
shocks.
You're right.
Shock dinos and
right,
shock specialists.
Right.
Very expensive.
All that stuff.
Now, if you want to talk about exciting and crashing and everything, you might ask Taylor about the fairgrounds on a parade lap.
What happened, Taylor?
I'm probably the only guy in existence that crashed on a four parade lap.
Four wide
parade lap. We're going down the fairgrounds, and Red Coons back me are banging wheels. And however they banged, that doesn't matter. That thing went upside down, and they were going so slow. They go about 40 mile an hour, but the thing just flipped about three or four times. And it's like a bunch of beer cans just crushing on the ground. As a matter of fact, we went to Jacksonville, I don't know, it was a couple years later, and we're standing up there with Fred Leonard and a few guys, and they're talking about these weird things, and Don's standing on the trailer. He goes, well, I know this guy that flipped on the parade lap, poor parade lap, his owner didn't fire him, and all of you got to be shitting me. Oh, no, hell no, he said he's still hired.
Well, it wasn't a lie, right?
No, it's correct. But you should have seen a look on her face.
Yeah, one of my favorite ones that Taylor tells, and he's told it a couple times to me, but not to everybody here. Taylor, tell him about East Bay Raceway Park. It's the last lap. You're trying to win a race. You cut to the bottom, and remember when they had the old tires on the inside? You launched over one or something.
Oh, I got two. Yeah, two stories. Yeah, I was going through there, and Melnick was leading the race. It was the last lap, and I went into turn three at the time. Cut down, and that's before they had the wall down there. You're right, they had a bunch of tires down there. And I cut down and lost control of the car, So I thought, well, I'll just try to gas it up, save it. Well, it launched over the tires, landed in the infield, launched over the next set of tires, and came out in front of my one. They said that was a hell of a move. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I had no idea where that car was going to this day. I'm still not sure how I made it through
just,
there.
Just hanging on and along for a ride at some point sometime.
You had your eyes closed, didn't you?
Oh, well, every bit of it. And hanging on for dear life, I figured, I don't know where this is going to end up, but it's probably not going to be good. But the second best thing was running with Sammy Rodriguez for the overall championship. And so we go, it boils down to East Bay. Now, this was a pavement championship, a dirt championship, the whole thing. I'm getting divorced. I get, my cars are locked up. And I go to a judge and I say, I really need this car back. And the judge says, all right, that's fine. So I get my car back. I go to the race. The last lap. Now, I'm leading Rodriguez. We're cycling about 5 or 6 points apart. The motor blows up and catches on fire. Slides up to the wall. Boom. Crashes. He goes on and wins the championship. So I get out of the car. I'm walking across the straightaway. I'm going to, you know, go and congratulate him for the job he did. And I'm laughing about it. And I forget who was the announcer at the time, but he comes up to me and he says, I got to ask you something. He says, how in the hell could you be laughing like this? You just blew your car up. You lost the championship. How can you be this happy? I said, well, I tell you, I said, I'm getting divorced. And I said, my wife gets half everything I got, and this is part of her half.
There you go. Left her half on the track.
Yeah, it's her half. She can have that motor. You get the good one. Well, Taylor, I appreciate you taking time to give us a call tonight. I know you're very busy with what's going on around you. How's the drag racing going on?
Oh, not bad. We're going out tomorrow night. I'm going out to run that. And then I've got the, I don't know if I told you, I got that dirt car. I've been running that Florida Sprint Car Association thing or something.
Yeah.
Where they run the spec head, and the little, they're the cheap deal. They run like a 550 horse motor with a, it's just a cheap deal, but it's just fun, just a dirt thing. I was up there Lake City a couple of weeks ago and ran up there for the first time and hit the wall a couple times. I think I get my glasses adjusted a little bit. Other than that, I'm just messing with that, and I've got the two dragsters, and I'm still fooling around with that a little bit.
All right, man. Well, you take care of yourself. Thanks so much for giving us a shout.
Thanks, Taylor. We'll keep on trying to sell some Dodges for you, man.
Good. All right.
Taylor Andrews, ladies and gentlemen, the past president and a very colorful character and a great driver in the TBARA throughout its history. Don, I got to ask you, he was asking about the future and so forth. What are some of the short-term things that you believe need to be happening to help keep things alive and keep them motivated in the right direction?
Short-term, I don't know.
How about some Ford Focus?
Well, that and the people are talking, you know, crate motors are the big thing and that kind of stuff. But, I mean, I don't think that would work for you guys. But I'm just wondering what kind of things you guys are thinking about.
Well, there was another organization
bring the cost down
that started talking about crate motors. And before they even got started, it was, I mean, it just wasn't a usable deal. So
won't turn the RPMs and stuff.
Well, it's just, you know, this is a different program, you know. If you want to run limited sprints, then that's probably what you need to do. But if you want to run sprint cars, then you know it's not for everyone. And I don't know. I don't think that's the answer to the deal, is to start putting crate motors in and doing things like that.
Yeah, don't we have a situation where if it ain't broke, don't fix it? I mean,
yeah, that's one of the things we've talked
about.
Well,
I would hope that we're still going in the right direction. I mean, you know, the response we get from the racetracks and the response that we get on here lately, we've had some pretty good comments on your website on Karnak and support for the club. And They talk about how we do things the correct way. So I would say that, you know, maybe we ought not try to reinvent the wheel.
No,
I have to just, like, one thing. You don't want to pay no attention to them people on that message board. Trust me.
Well, some of them are saying nice things, so I'm gonna.
Yeah, but they're really confused.
Well,
trust me, they spend all their afternoon and evening.
No, the ones saying the nice stuff are the nice people.
Yeah, they're the
they are. We got some great people on the message board.
What's the toughest thing you have to deal with on a Saturday night race or a Friday night race? I mean, what is the toughest thing?
Well, just trying to keep everything going, and we have a race director and tech inspector that does a good job, and that's relieved a lot of pressure off of me. At one time, and it was not because I wanted it to be that way, but I was ended up being almost like a one-man band and doing all the stuff, and you can't do that. I mean, it's just hard. We try to, you know, support his decisions and discuss it before he just makes a decision. Sometimes he'll come to me and say something about, well, what do you think about this or that? But just trying to make the whole night work and be as professional as we can be with our show, which we take a lot of pride in doing, and trying to make everything work out and just, you know, put on a real good show. That's probably the hardest part. Not any one little thing, I wouldn't say. It's just trying to make the whole thing come together and be a smooth operation.
Well, it's working quite well, and we're just like all the folks are giving you pats on the back and telling you about it. It's something that I'm like, you know, Jack and Rick here. Just if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
It's definitely a special show when you guys show up. There's no doubt about it.
It's
when
awesome.
You guys show at the track. It's a special deal. Everybody knows it.
My favorite one of all time is the 35 lap special race at Sunshine Speedway, where we had no red flags, no yellow flags, no nothing. It was 5 minutes and 22 seconds for 35 laps. And people that had paid the extra $10 to get into this special race were like sitting there going, that's it? I paid $10 extra. I got 5 minutes. What's the deal?
Yeah, but what'd Bonnie say?
Oh, she was like, thank you. Have a nice night. Y'all go home. It's 9:15. You know? But we appreciate you coming by. We got so many drivers to talk to. I don't want to go too long.
Yeah, we'll be coming back here in a few minutes with some of the young guys, Michael Smith and Eric McMillan.
We'll start with the youngsters. You guys figure out by age who's youngest and come on, and we'll go by age all the way up to the oldest driver in the house.
All right.
Okay. Don't go far. We'll
Paulie's
be right back.
Last?
You already started Paulie's
not
the
last.
Oldest one, right?
Yeah. We'll be
thanks
right back.
Being
thanks,
John. Time.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Wayne Jefferson, driver of the number 1 open wheel modified and number 94 super late model. And you are listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically to do. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back a vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton and Deuce Dodge.
But this family right now needs, first of all, a lot of prayers and support. Disease is, it's a form of leukemia. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race. And that's what I want. I want it to be run professional, fair, but in the end, everybody has a good time and the family benefits. And it's basically it. We're going to have mini cup races, legend cars, and we're going to have the big truck race. But the neat thing on Friday night is we're going to have first round qualifying for the trucks. Then we're going to run a mini cups, junior mini cups, the mini cup adult guy. And then we're going to have barbecue and music and a celebrity auction. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th, and it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Welcome back to the Snook River Grill. Taking short breaks here. We got a lot of drivers in the house, Rick, and a whole bunch of cars in the parking lot.
A lot of cars in the parking lot. No Jack at the table.
If you live close by the Snook River Grill here on Highway 64 in Bradenton, you need to get here because after the show tonight, they're going to fire all these cars up and drive them back up on the trailer.
I heard we were going to drag race down 64.
Oh, that'd be all right.
That'd be good.
Cops would probably watch. Hey, listen, we got some young guns coming in. You better clear me out. I know Mr. Smith. So,
and Eric McMillan, how y'all doing tonight?
Good, how about yourself?
Do they call you Eric Mac?
They got a couple ones.
Uh-oh. Well, let's not go there. Michael Smith and Eric McMillan. Now, Michael, are you part of the historical Smith family from Central Florida?
No.
Okay, you got to turn the button on. It's okay.
Suck the gas pedal.
He's a youngster.
No, I'm not part.
Okay. I didn't think so, but I just wanted to ask a question. Because we got a lot of Smiths that race around Central Florida and have been for years. So that's awesome. Well, now, how did you guys, did both of you kind of get into sprint cars by other means? Did you come from mini stocks and work your way up, or just go out and buy a sprint car one day?
Hold it. Before you even answer that. Now, you asked him about the Smith family thing, right?
Yeah. He said he wasn't part of it.
McMillan. Did you already do that?
Eric McMillan.
I was going to get back to the McMillan family.
Okay, go ahead.
But I didn't want to...
Well...
I wanted to get into...
Are you part of the famous...
I didn't want to
find
out the family issue.
But this young man is part of a famous family. Larry McMillan, the famous announcer at Citrus County Speedway.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Larry. Larry's one of my favorite guys. I always ask Larry, hey, Larry, you dead yet? I'm just giving him a hard time. But he's a lot
Don't
of
pay
guy.
No attention to that
he's
crazy
a lot of
man
fun.
Over there.
Larry McMillan's a blast. Anyway, we'll start with Mr. Smith. How did you get into sprint car racing? Give me a quick synopsis where you started, where you got there.
When did you start racing a sprint car, Jack? Oh, wrong sprint car.
Well, I was looking for a place to move up from go-karts, and I went to watch a couple races, and the sprint cars were the fastest one there.
Oh, it's the...
Speed!
But this is probably somewhere along the Hammer version. So I remember he did the same thing. He jumped right into a sprint car. What about yourself, Mr. McMillan? How'd you get there?
Me and Michael both, we started out over at Dirt Devil Speedway racing go-karts, and we kind of moved out the same way and kind of went from go-karts straight into sprint cars. So
How did it, from the go-kart, there's a lot of different things happening on that dirt compared to the asphalt in a sprint car. How did you transfer that information and make it work?
Well, it really isn't a whole lot different. You're still driving in oval, and just faster and more brake.
Faster and more brake. There you go, guys. You've been doing it all wrong. The youngsters are going to teach you. That's awesome. That it really is to be going from, running on dirt go-karts at Dirt Devil Speedway and jumping into full-blooded, horsepower sprint cars. What was it like the first time you drove out on a track in a sprint car?
Well, actually, the first time I went on the track, it was raining, so we were just breaking in a motor, so that was a whole different ball game.
Okay, well, the second time, then. Give me a break. Work with me.
I know it was a whole different ball game than the go-karts and a whole lot more horsepower you got on you.
How many laps did you kind of coast around and got to burp it before you really got into it and tried to see what it felt like?
Well, I went over to Citrus where my grandpa's at, and we just kind of went out little by little and just kind of felt the car out, see what it was going to do, and see how I was going to relate to that. So,
what about yourself, Mr. Smith?
I practiced at Orlando Speedway, and I just gradually just put more accelerator in it.
Keep getting more and more.
How old are you guys?
I'm 17.
I'm 17 as well.
Okay.
How long did it take before you were comfortable to race with other cars?
My first race, I kind of stayed towards the back, but after that, I moved up some.
When's the first time either one of you started on a pole?
I don't think I've ever started on the pole, but the first time that I was in a race, I started on the outside pole.
Your first race?
Yes.
So what was it like? I mean, it had to be a thrill when you first, the first time you lined up in that four wide salute to the fans.
I just kind of stayed where I moved up and tried not to hit anybody.
Yeah, you heard Taylor talking, so yeah, that's a good idea.
I remember the first time I took the four wide, it just reminded me of a kid, you know, kind of growing up around East Bay and watching, you know, World of Outlaws coming and everything. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world.
To be sitting in the driver's seat to actually do that.
Right.
And what was it like when you completed your first race?
It was kind of like a relief. Like, got the first one out of the way. Now it's time to, you know, start seeing what this thing can do, you know.
Go ahead and jump in here, Mike.
Keep going right back and forth.
Just go for it.
It's a relief to get out of the car for the first time because it just takes more out of you than anything else.
Does it? The mental concentration and the actual physical, I mean, it puts a little G-force on you.
How intense is it?
You as a teenager, how intense is it?
Come on.
I mean, compare it to something.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember in high school you had the final exams?
Right.
Thinking of the last minute studying you did and multiply that by about 100 billion.
That won't work for me.
I skipped school.
And go.
Yeah, God, you think we got here because we are educated. You got a wrong idea.
But I can relate.
How about the first time you got pulled over, then 100 billion?
Yeah, that works.
I like that one. No, that works. I've been pulled over a few times. I had 11 tickets in 12 months when I was 18 years old.
I don't believe that.
I do. Lost a license 6 weeks.
So now you're, you know, I mean, this is both of y'all's first season this year?
Yes.
Yeah, this is actually my first season ever in a sprint car. But.
And it's almost over. Have you learned a lot?
I've learned a lot throughout this season. It's just running around all these great drivers.
What is it like, though? Do you have the respect of these drivers, or is it still tough?
Do I have the respect of you guys?
Yeah, a couple of us.
Yeah, they get to get.
A couple of you must have let by.
That's your chuckles.
You got mostly thumbs up.
Yeah.
Do you have problems ever with the hair getting down in your eyes when you're racing?
No.
No?
The headset keeps it up there.
Okay. I'm just worried that it might, you know, sooner or later kind of work its way around, you know, vibrating and stuff. What's the longest race you guys have run?
The last race of DeSoto where you sat in the car in the red.
That was a long race.
Okay. Yeah, I'm probably going to have to on that one.
You guys done a 35-lap race, I imagine, by now, maybe a 50 or no?
Yeah, we did I did the 35-lapper, yeah.
Okay. So did I.
Okay. That's pretty intense, and things happen so fast. Did you realize how fast the other guys were those first few races out there, that you were on the bottom and they were going boom, boom, by you pretty quick?
Yeah, I mean, actually, the first time I went out, and I thought I was getting busy, and these guys were rolling by me. I'm like, this is gonna be a long run here.
Well, I know that you guys are learning fast, and you're doing a great job. We're glad to see some new blood coming along and new young talent showing up in the TBRA, because it's a great place to learn. A lot of really great drivers have touched base at TBRA at one time or another, whether it been the old dirt series or the asphalt series as they came through town.
Yeah, Bill, we've had a lot of the kids here, and these guys are far from kids that we've had here. But they're youngsters, first time really out there racing in the automobile. But, you know, the guys we usually have on here are racing trucks or late models or stuff. You guys are in open wheels, sprint cars.
They're going slow.
Where do you want to go? I mean, a lot of these guys are going NASCAR, Winston Cup, whatever. You know, you're in the open wheels. Where do you want to go?
I mean, NASCAR, I guess that's where it's at, you know. But, like, growing up around Florida and, you know, watching the World of Outlaws come here, I wouldn't mind running World of Outlaws at all.
Sprint car racing?
I agree. I would love to run World of Outlaws or NASCAR. I don't even mind running an IndyCar.
There you go.
He kind of looks like an IndyCar driver, yeah. Doesn't he?
IndyCar is just as quick and fast, but you're really low to the ground.
So next year you're going to go out to TBRA again? Both of you?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you guys running for Rookie of the Year this year?
Yeah, he's actually leading the points right now.
Aha, I thought you were. I wasn't sure. I want to make sure I didn't step my
foot. Never tempted bumping?
Well, that's cool.
What are your favorite? One other question. What are your favorite tracks? What do you guys like? Where do you like to race?
I'm gonna say my favorite track's probably Orlando, because I won that heat race there, and it's just an all around smooth track, and it makes for good racing.
I agree. Orlando is one of the best tracks, and it's just very smooth, and you have a really great race there.
There you go. Who's some of your sponsors, Art?
Right now we got Turtle Southeast, and just before I start, I mean, without these guys here, you know, it wouldn't be possible at all. We got Turtle Southeast, Easy Sweep, and also Suncoast Paving, and those guys have done worlds for us so far.
Michael?
My main sponsor is AutoWave Ford of Brooksville, and they're just helping us out greatly here.
AutoWave Ford, man, that's a good sponsorship.
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you actually run a Ford?
Yes, I do.
Oh, cool. Not a whole lot of people running Fords, I know that.
There you go. Look out for the 9X if you're a Ford fan.
I'm telling you.
And, Eric, you're in the 11X?
Yes, sir.
Okay, this weekend at DeSoto Super Speedway. Well, thank you guys a lot for being on the show. Eric McMillan, Michael Smith.
Yeah.
Great
job,
guys.
Yeah, wind up
thanks,
on a front
thank
strip, buddy.
Thanks a lot. You spoke very well spoken. Good deal.
Hey, let's not go far. Come back just after this. We're at the top of the hour. At the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to start.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates and they reserve the right to buy back a vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and building construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Real Racing USA, coming back at you live from the Snook River Grill. Really got to thank the guys at Snook River Grill.
2505.
Manatee Avenue East.
That's right.
Great. Green cars all out there in the parking lot, man.
Pretty cool.
Looks
first
pretty
time we did this, and we're going to do it some more.
No doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt. Bill's on the phone right now with the Superman.
People taking pictures, doing video.
Video. We're going to be pictures. On the internet.
Really?
We're going to be on the internet.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Oh, we're already on the internet.
We're way too much on the internet, man.
Imitator.
I'm telling you.
Imitator.
Can't spell
it. Well, what a show we're having tonight, man. We, you know, TBARA in the house.
Sitting next to me is Mr. Pauly Milam.
Pauly Milam.
Imagine that.
And on the phone with us right now, the Superman, Dave Steele. Dave, how you doing tonight, brother?
Good. How are you?
All right, man. Up there in Georgia at the PRA show, huh?
Yeah, we're on the road heading that way anyway.
We got the TBARA in the house, man. What's it like, you know, you're on the road, I mean, all year long sprint car racing, but you make it down here to run these TBARA races. What is so appealing about this club? Dave?
Did we lose you, Dave?
I'm breaking up a little bit. Go ahead. What?
Now, what's so appealing about the TBRA, Dave?
It just gives me, like, to come back and run with these guys. If nothing else, it gives me an excuse just to kind of split town and come back home for a little bit, hang out with my buddies. So, you know, when I'm down here, hopefully there's a TBARA race going on that weekend, and hopefully we hit that race up. I got a good group of guys down here to kind of keep the car going for me, and you know, they'll go run it if I'm here. If I'm not, they'll run it too. So I got a pretty good deal working for me right now.
Dave, you've ran you know, Busch. You've done some, you know, closed car racing. Why do you go back to the sprint car?
Well, I did none of that other stuff really panned out, so I just kind of always ended up back with the sprint car stuff, and you know, I'm having a lot of fun doing it, and it's you know, kind of where I pay the bills right now, so having fun making a living at it, so I keep doing it as long as I can.
Now, do you enjoy the changes you must have to make between the local sprint car here, the bigger sprint cars there, and of course the Silver Crown cars and other things that you run on a regular back and forth basis every other week?
Yeah, that is a thing about running, coming down here. They run the wing stuff all the time down here, and it is a good change of pace compared to everything they run up north is all non-wing stuff. So it is fun to come down here and put the wing on and you know, run with these guys. It just switches it up a little bit.
Do you think that helps you any with the non-wing?
Not really. I mean, the setups are different from wing to non-wing, and you know, with the wing, that thing kind of you know, it obviously plants the car a lot harder, but you can stand on the gas a little more with the wing, so it's a lot of fun.
You know, a lot of these guys will swap from, like we got Paulie sitting here, dirt to asphalt. You've never been much of a dirt guy.
No, I've mostly been, pavement's been probably, you know, 85% of everything I do, although, you know, we did do a little bit of dirt this year, and actually the past probably 4 years we've been doing a little bit of dirt with the USAC Silver Crown Series. We ran for the point, I believe, the last 4 years, and there's probably about 14 races total, and half of those will be on dirt. So we get on the dirt tracks every now and then.
So, you know, you got a chance to run an Indy car. What was that like?
Those things are quick. I mean, it's, you know, they got those wings on them, and you know, the underneath of them, they got aero package underneath there. So it's, I mean, them things are like slot cars. So it's, kind of different. I mean, the engine's in the back, which makes it a lot different compared to, you know, what I was brought up on.
A lot of G-force?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of G-force in the corners, and heck of a lot of G-force when you hit the wall.
I bet that doesn't feel good at all.
that isn't too much fun.
So how have you adapted to the new USAC car?
Actually, I don't really know if I really adapted. Yeah, we did pretty decent on the short track stuff. On the big track, the mile and a half tracks, we never really, or myself, I don't feel like I really ever really adapted that well to it. So there are, on those bigger tracks, they use a different tire. They use a radial tire that I never really felt I got the hang of that well. So we got a couple wins. We won at Phoenix and one at Iowa, but that's on the smaller track. So we just kind of got pulled down and then try to get those bigger tracks figured out.
In the course of a season, Dave, how many different styles of race cars do you climb into?
Mainly just sprints, midgets, and the Silver Crown car. That's pretty much basically it. Silver Crown, we did some dirt stuff. So pretty much, I believe in 06, that's about all. Pretty much all I did, you know, with the, if you throw the TBARA in there with the wing stuff. So that's basically the different classes.
You never showed up at a track with a buddy and he's racing a late model and you tried, maybe give it a shot?
No, I've never really ran a late model. I ran a ASA car back when they used to run V6s, if you want to count that as a late model. But really on like the local level, I haven't really ever run much late model stuff.
Hey, David, Paulie here. How are you?
What's up, Paulie?
How you doing, bud? I got your thing on the phone here. You sent me a text message with a picture on it. and I appreciated that. I saved you some bottle caps.
Totally got it. I drove for, I've had a chance. But actually, I won a couple dirt races at East Bay driving for Paul and his dad, Bucky. That was back in the day, quite a few years ago. So I do have a couple wins down at East Bay anyway.
Yeah, you do. And I heard you mention that there. And, you know, I heard you guys talking about, you know, your experience on dirt, and that went right through my mind. We got an ASCS win in 96.
Yeah, exactly. And there's actually, there was some pretty heavy hitters there, and you know, so that was kind of a fun going down there and running that stuff. So I wouldn't mind running a sprint car at East Bay again. It's been so many years since I ran there, so maybe if you got extra cars laying around sometime, let me drive it.
If I do, I'll, you got
not,
it.
I'll try not to wreck it.
Yeah, okay.
Paulie's
if I do, you got it, brother.
All right.
Paulie's trying to win two championships in the same year with the limited sprints and the sprint cars at East Bay. He's in the top, I think you're number two on both, and you're about 3 points
out of both. I'm in two on
both.
I'm 1 point out of the limited and 3 points out of the 360.
So hopefully he can pull that off. That'd be awesome.
That'd be a pretty good feat, one and two there. How big's the press down there, I wonder?
I'm sorry?
How many races you got left for the point?
Well, we got a 360 race this weekend, and that locks it up. It'll be done. Then I've got three limited sprint races at East Bay, last one December 15th, PRI weekend. So when I'm at PRI, I got to run back here and jump in the car. I'll have it waiting at East Bay when I get there.
There you go.
Maybe you can loan him one of those jets you use a lot to get back.
But they'd be not, I'm either going to end up winning. The only way it could really go is win both of them, be first in one, second in the other, be second in both. But whatever happens, it happens. I still get a trophy. So.
Yeah, he's had a lot of fun.
That'll make it all worth all the money your old man spent with that trophy, huh?
Yeah, it would. It would.
Dave, that made me think of a question. At some point in your racing career, did you get away from the fun for a little while and try to get into it as a business, and then you kind of came back to the fun again now?
Well, maybe just because... I mean, sometimes it does get grueling. I think it's more like a job than it is fun. But, you know, one thing I just try to do is I just try to keep the fun, you know, even if it, you know, you get to a point where if you're not going to move up the ladder, you know, the older you get, you're probably going to make $1 million racing cars. So, you know, if you can just make ends meet, you can just kind of justify that by having a lot of fun doing it. So that's kind of, you know, what I'm trying to do now.
That's awesome. I enjoy that. Let me ask you one more question. That would be, what is your favorite TVARA race that you didn't win? Can you remember one that you just had a whole lot of fun with?
Yeah, I mean, they're all fun. I think, I'm not sure if I won one of those Dick Flea Memorial races or not. I think I've missed that a time or two, so that might be one I'd like to win.
Well, that'd be awesome. That's a great race. He was a great guy. He kind of really helped put the word out. That's been the one thing lacking, I think, sometimes from the TVRA is getting the word out about what's happened in the past, necessarily not what's happening in the future coming up at the races. But hopefully they'll get a fix on that.
He usually did pretty good at that, so you know, maybe that'd be one.
Well, we look forward to seeing you back here. Do you know if you got some, you know, time coming off here at the end of the year? You're going to be back in town?
Yeah, I should be able to make this Saturday at DeSoto, so hopefully I'll be there.
Cool. All right. Hopefully I'll get to talk to him.
There you go. Yeah, well,
Lenny owns your sprint car. Who's some of the sponsors on that car, man?
Classic Corvette, Northside Propane, NGK Spark Plug, and I'm trying to think who else. I don't know, all my crew guys getting their car ready for the track. So
I was just thinking, he's got four different cars to remember, four different sets of sponsors on.
He does a good job.
Yeah, it's hard to remember all of them, and some of the sponsors are coming and going constantly anyway, so it's hard to keep them straight.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by and talking with us today. We know you're on the road and keeping busy.
All right, Paulie, good luck.
Hey, thanks, and by the way, Tuxedo says hi.
Oh, yeah, that's cat. So, yeah, throw him a
fishbone
for me.
These guys, is it just me or they're talking code?
It's code. Bottle cast, fishbone.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot, ladies and gentlemen. The Superman, Dave Steele. We'll be seeing him this Saturday night at the Soto Super Speedway.
That'll be awesome. Thanks, David.
Bill, let's keep this thing rolling. Yeah. Why don't we get somebody up here with Pauly.
With Pauly.
Pauly, pick somebody.
I want to talk to Pauly about.
Just grab somebody up here, and I got to.
Joey, come on, Joey.
Bill, hang that thought a minute. I want to ask a dumb fan question.
Go ahead.
Dumb fan question? Who are you going to ask?
Yeah. I'm going to ask these two guys.
Make sure that microphone's working good, because I think the bottom's kind of loose.
So, you know, Pauly, you're kind of promotion-oriented kind of guy. You're always coming to these kind of things, and any chance you get to promote yourself, you are. Like, when you guys go to, when TBRA guys, you guys come into a track, like, are you aware of the sort of mystique and the fan deal that comes along to see you? Are you really aware of that? Or are you guys, like, in your own little world and, like, you're just thinking about your car and stuff? You know what I mean?
Well, sure, Jack. I know what you're saying. Absolutely. I'm very fan-oriented. A lot of drivers aren't, but I am. An autograph session out on the front stretch before a big race, TBARA pushes that a lot. And we've done quite a few Halloweens there and had a ball. Even when I run dirt at East Bay, any chance I get to go up in the stands, even walking through, you know, if I get a little bored between a heat race and a feature, I'll walk through. Not all the time, but it's all about the fans.
Right.
You don't put the fans in the stands. You know, I just wish that, you know, sprint car racing was more, you know, advertised and promoted. I know that there's people out there that don't realize we run these cars here in the South. You know, we know how big they are in the North.
Right.
But
yeah, go ahead, there.
Yeah, fan-oriented, absolutely.
Joey Aguilar, ladies and gentlemen, joining us.
Yeah, go ahead, Joey. This is Joey the Ace Aguilar. Yeah, I think when it comes back to it, when you notice the fans are into it, as soon as we get there, of course, because some of them show up early to see us drive in there. Some of them are over there before the race practice even starts. But I think the biggest time I notice, and I think a lot of drivers would say, is the four abreast. The whole grandstand, people standing, sitting in the concession stand lines, they all go crazy when they see the four abreast. So, yeah, I mean, we definitely feel it from the beginning to the end of the night with the fans.
I agree with that four abreast. That four abreast gets them going, and that's a show.
I heard it crackling.
Yeah.
But it's an awesome, awesome sight to see the four abreast salute to the fans, and that's the thing that you gotta make sure that the track you've gone to is doing just that, making sure that they're being well aware that you are doing a salute to the fans and not necessarily
here.
A salute to yourself and having some fun. Yeah, Henry's not here. Just move. There you go. So it's just one of those things that is a cool deal. Now, how long does it take to teach, like, the young guys to teach this thing to them so they don't run over each other?
Well, to speak real quick about those guys that were just up here earlier, Eric and Michael Smith, those guys are doing an amazing job of not being too aggressive, not being too patient, but putting in what they need to do not to get in the way. And Michael showed very capable of winning a race at any time. And Eric, he's on probably a little slower of a pace, but, I mean, you know, not saying that he's slow, but, I mean, he's doing it a little more of a gradual thing instead of going quicker, as maybe Michael's maybe a little bit quicker there.
But Michael had the year last year rest in the
And the big thing there, too, you need to remember, Michael drives for somebody, Eric drives for his dad, so sometimes, you know, if you don't have a lot of pressure on you to pick up the pace, sometimes you tend to be a little more safer than to be aggressive.
Well, I know that all of you guys, I mean, the whole 67 that have run so far this year, that kind of thing, have always shown such professionalism. If you've got a problem with your car and you're in the race, you don't stop on the track to bring out the yellow. You get off the track, let the race go on, because you're not going to be a factor anyway. So it's just an awesome, awesome program, the way you guys run it and the way you do it.
Yeah, we owe that a lot to, you know, our club, all the officials, Don, his family. They're all doing a great job. It's like Don said, it's a tough position to be in. There's a lot of tough calls that come in, but I've seen in the last year those guys are trying to make some adjustments to a few things that are hard to deal with, and they're doing a great job at it. It's not an easy thing, and as long as we can continue to make those strides, I think this thing's going to go to the top.
Have you run much dirt?
No. I mean, you talked about the go-karts earlier with those guys. I raced strictly on the dirt when I ran go-karts, and I was very successful at that with Classic Corvettes. Dave mentioned them earlier. They were behind me in the go-karts, and the thing with the go-kart racing now is when you race on the dirt, you're basically racing like you're on pavement anyway.
Yeah,
keep the cart straight, don't bog the motor, and, you know, let it rip.
Keep it going. But the one thing I was going to get to Pauly, and I want to let him get away without talking about it, and that was the old days of going between the dirt and the asphalt and back and forth, and sometimes they used one car and you had to swap bars and all kinds of wheels and other things. How difficult was it to go from East Bay one night to maybe a Sunshine Speedway or something the next night?
With one race car? That was a pain. And we're talking axles, bars. You had to change the whole front axle, make it, you know, and put three brakes on the car. Two up front and one on the inboard left rear. I got keen to that after a year because basically a dirt car could not compete with a halfway decent pavement car. There were a few drivers that could do it, that could wheel one real good. Red Stauffer for one. He could wheel a dirt car with a Jacob's Ladder around there and put to shame, you know, a good pavement car.
Yeah.
I couldn't. After about a year of that, I said, look, if we're going to keep doing this, we need a pavement car. And it's a lot less work.
I understand. And that was one thing I talked to Don about. Well, now in this day and age, they're running so few races on the dirt for sprint cars, full 360s, at East Bay. Has there ever been any consideration to going back to that program of running both? And he said it just wouldn't be cost effective at this point, he doesn't think, because everybody's going to have a separate dirt car.
I could agree with that, because TBARA is very successful. When the club split and that happened, people went one way and some people went the other way. People went to dirt, some people went to pavement. I figured that it would, both of them would have went to heck. The pavement pounders, TBARA, went. They started off with low car counts, but it picked up. And, you know, the TBARA is a club. It's a union. It's a show. They put on a great show for the fans. You have 10, 15 cars capable of winning a race at any given time. You have your field fillers, and they run out there. And they put on a show, like Joey was saying, the four abreast. People go nuts for that.
Absolutely.
I've heard that. I mean, I can hear the stands rumble.
Yeah, and you know what? When you talk about the field fillers, I mean, those people, you need those. Because if everybody stays in the lead lap and stays single file, it's not a very good race. And to have those folks on the bottom that are learning, and you have to dodge them, plus you got to work around the guys trying to pass you and so forth, it makes it for an awesome, exciting race.
I'll tell you. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Well, let's not get into it. It's definitely an expensive sport. None of the car owners are making any money at this deal. So, you know, maybe some of them field fielders just might be, they don't have some of the equipment, maybe some of the faster guys got it.
Oh, I understand. Yeah.
But, I mean, don't get me wrong, but it's all about the car count. And like Don said earlier, we've had great car counts. We got great cars, like Paulie said. On any given night, you got 10, 15 cars capable of winning races. The way our starting positions are, the way the inversion works and all that stuff, you got to work your way through the heat race. You can't just ride in the heat race. You got to work your way through the heat race to get into the inversion. And it kind of shuffles the field around at the start of the green. And if you're starting back there in the sixth row because you've been in top average the last four races, you better be mashing the gas and going to the front, because those guys start up front, it's hard to catch them.
That's it. It's an awesome, awesome situation.
Joey, you run into all the racetracks, just about the pavement racetracks in the state of Florida. What's the toughest one to run a sprint car at?
I tell you right now, I don't think that's a very hard question. I think everybody agreed with me. Ocala Speedway seems to be.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. I love it. I love a place like that. It offers a challenge because you can't set the car up because the two corners are so different. There's so much that a driver has to do in the seat of that thing. You can get the car so close, and then the driver has to take over from there. So I think Paul commented on, I think most of the drivers here would say Ocala. Tighten up the seat belts, huffler down, and get going.
That's the driver's racetrack.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll put it in perspective for you. I raced there 30 times, and I wrecked 28.
That's it.
Turn four.
Four.
Not always.
One, two, and turn five.
Is there a turn four there?
It's more like a three. I think it's one, two, three. I thought.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my problem because I count five turns.
Yeah, because it's awesome.
And it wasn't any different when Ocala was dirt.
Yeah.
It's the same track, the same shape.
Same layout.
Is there a track that you don't like racing at?
Nah, man, I love them all. Don't matter, big, small, challenging. Bring them on. New Smyrna, I love it for the speed.
You know, here.
That's what it's all about, man. It's about speed. And, you know, you were asking the young guys earlier. Of course, I'm getting kind of to that older part. I'm 35, but NASCAR is not exciting to me. I'm an open-wheel guy. My heart's in open-wheel racing. I mean, you know, if I ever got a shot, I'd love to try IndyCar or something like that. I mean, you know, NASCAR to me is just, you know, it's gotten a little too IROC style, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So
exactly.
Open wheel
cookie cutter stuff.
Yeah, open wheel would be great, man.
You know, you talk about New Smyrna. I mean, coming off like running an Ocala race, or when you used to run Charlotte County, and you go up to New Smyrna, that back straightaway has got to be an awesome ride down there.
Well, let me tell you,
New Smyrna, you get going around about halfway, three-quarters of the way down the straightaway, and that thing starts doing a little duck walk on you, and, you know, you start thinking, man, something's wrong, but it's just the nature of the beast. You know, you got staggering the cars, you got the wings, and you're hauling tomatoes. It don't feel like it in a seat, but believe me, you're on.
It wants to go left.
You know,
when
you're running with the likes of Superman, Dave Steele, you know, you got to, there ain't no time to sit back there and eating brownies or nothing like that. You better be getting on the gas and going.
When I talked to Michael Smith a few months ago, he said, I remember him telling me that when you're going down the back straight at New Smyrna, there's something about, like, the billboards up there create some kind of, like, they push you down or something.
I think it's the way the racetrack sits, you know. And I think the wind comes across there because of, I'm not sure, the water or where that place sits. But definitely down the back straightaway, it does
like a wind tunnel or something.
We've been down there, and it's been really windy, and it's been really threatening skies and all that stuff. And it was a scary 25, 30 laps of racing there, man. That thing, you know, you're going down a straightaway. I call it duck walking. Some people may call it something else. But,
yeah.
I mean, you got to hold on to her. And, you know, that's why I say, you know, guys that get in these cars, all 25, all the guys that race in our club that's been showing up, they all can handle it.
What's the second hardest track, Polly? If Ocala's the toughest, which one's the second hardest?
I would guess out of the tracks that I ran was Sunshine.
That's the one I would have said, too.
Yeah, out of 20, 25 races I ran there, I got the push out of it four times. That was a pushing racetrack for me. I had run 5, 6, 7, 8 inches of stagger up front. Yeah. Sunshine, I had some bad luck in that place. But he was talking about New Smyrna, and that place is a blast. Don Reams would tell you that I bragged about that place.
Yeah.
And I wish I could have got back there this year. Well, I couldn't, but that place was a blast.
Well, Joey, you were going to say something?
I'll tell you, man. That's a good pick, no doubt. I love Sunshine Speedway. It was a great little track right here locally for us. We didn't have a lot of traveling. I know the owners loved it because of the expense so down. But I got to say, that's definitely would be Hialeah.
We don't
run there no more to drag on, but I'm going to tell you, that baby, she's a handful.
I tried that one once, just once. That's when it rains there, that the water goes to the wall, the outside wall?
I ran a bus there.
-1 degree.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you guys not only bringing your cars, but coming by and sitting down and talking to us, because it's awesome. We got a lot of guys to talk to tonight. Polly, thanks so much, buddy.
Hey, you're welcome, buddy.
We appreciate it. Polly's always there for us.
Real quick, I'd like to throw out... thank you to my owners, Don and Dorothy Vinson, for giving me this opportunity again. I was out for 2 years and thought I was pretty much well done, but I'd like to thank those guys for giving me a second chance. I'd also like to thank all the owners and drivers in the TBRA for welcoming me back and giving me some chances. I've done some crazy things over the past, but we've made some adjustments here, and I think we're on the right track this time. And
good.
Everybody check out mashthegas.tv. It's a neat place to go to. It's got some racing videos from the TBRA. We got some vintage racing on there. Look forward to a lot more to come on there about reality and teaching.
They're in the house tonight. They're going to see your mug chit-chatting with us here. And your knees.
Thank you, guys. And thanks, Snook River Bar and Grill, for having us here tonight.
Oh, we appreciate it, buddy. Thanks so much, guys. We appreciate it. Polly?
All right.
Hey, not a problem. Right. Thanks, guys, for having me on, and we'll see you again.
Your pops probably want you to say American Well Drilling.
Oh, yeah. We'll pump American Well Drilling and here in Sarasota.
What happened to the storage? You guys sell that?
What's that?
The American storage. Got rid of that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wouldn't buy my wings. But anyway, I want to say thank you. Even though I only ran one race with this club
this year,
my schedule didn't allow it. But guys, I will be back, and I cut my teeth with the TBARA. Everybody knows it. I will be back, and I go both ways on racing. So.
There you go,
dirt and pavement,
asphalt and dirt.
Love it.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot,
you, man. All right, we appreciate these guys dropping by. Let's take another quick break, and we'll get some more of these drivers out of their meal and up here. We got Bo Hartley in the house. We got all kinds of guys to talk to and a gal.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Bud Life presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play, coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out now.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting. Because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Real Racing USA, live from the Snook River Grill, 2505 east of Manatee Avenue in lovely southern Tampa Bay, as they call it. They want to name it. Hey, listen, we got some more drivers sitting down with us, and they threw me a curve here because I'm not quick enough to remember. He shook my hand earlier, didn't even tell me. What name? You got to turn it on. Troy. Now I remember. Troy. Troy DeCare, yes, the go-karter guy.
Something like that.
I called you. Remember World Karting Association infield?
Short track.
Internet, yeah.
Bill Green.
Put that up close to your mouth.
You got that?
But I called the races for the World Karting Association when you were running the sprint carts inside Daytona International Speedway.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that.
That was cool. And I went with the Florida Challenge Series for 2 years.
Yeah, that time when you were actually calling the races, I think I ran like in the top five or something.
There
like
you go. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah,
I was going, yeah, it's one of our guys. Yeah.
Well, you ventured back a little bit to go-kart racing this year at DeSoto.
Oh, yeah. I ran a couple times out of there. Had a little fun. Kind of funny story. I was driving home from my nephew's football game, and my buddy Dustin Chisholm runs down there at DeSoto and called me up. I said, hey, man, I'm coming around go-kart. You want to watch? I said, I ain't watching no go-kart. I said, I just picked one up. I'll go race with you. And I got to the track, and I opened up the trailer, and it was a bare chassis. And me and him thrashed, and I got it together, put some duct tape numbers on it. And he ended up beating me by about 7 inches.
And that was a wild race, too, man. It went back and forth the whole race.
Oh, yeah, had a lot of fun. It was great.
But you and Dustin have really put on some shows over the years. It's been awesome. Hey, listen, we got Wendy Mathis, the first lady of TBRA, maybe? I don't know. You've been
the only lady of TBRA.
Well, I understand.
Only, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say first. I think there was some others. But anyway, it's just kind of cool.
First female ever win a race with TBRA.
Thank you.
There you go.
That's right.
How many races have you been racing TBRA?
6 now.
6 years? Wasn't it about 6 years ago at Charlotte County in Turn 4 that you got in a fight?
Yeah.
Was that one of the Butler boys?
That was the good stuff.
Shane Butler, yeah. He was throwing fists.
Did she take him?
She took him to the ground.
Shane.
First time I ever saw her race, I was impressed.
See, was Shane good. Butler, Shane and his brother, the Pink Panther, just were too afraid to be here then because they were scared of you. But,
well, we'll stick up for Keith. He is working. I'm not sure where Shane's at. But
Shane's at my house, actually, working on my dad's car.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Shane and Keith, we both appreciate you guys, what they do, because they do an awful lot for the TBA.
But I will have to stick up for them. We all have become good friends after all that incident was said and done. So.
Oh, yeah.
Part of the show. It's part of the show.
You probably walked away from me and went, I like that guy. I like that girl. Come on.
Stop it, Bill. That's enough of that.
Hey, listen, what's been the toughest part of being the female entity in an all-guy sport, number one, and an all-guy organization almost? I mean, come on.
Really, being a girl isn't that difficult racing against these guys. So I put my helmet on, I'm just one of them. So, you know, I don't see that differently. I think the fans treat me a lot differently. They're a lot more involved and, you know, excited for me to be out there. I get a lot more, you know, you go girl type thing. And just, you know, the fans really seem to appreciate a girl being out there.
What stepped you up into a sprint car?
I ran quarter midgets for 4 years from the time I was 12 to 16 and then ran TQs for 5 years and was very successful there. And then the next logical step was right into a sprint car.
Now, there's a lot of the kids, though, that go from the TQ midgets up into a late model or a truck or, I mean, and you know, the girls that are racing, like in the TQs and the go-karts and stuff, go up into a truck or a car why sprint car? I mean, was that just the appeal to it, or?
I think that was kind of a twofold deal. My dad has always loved sprint cars, and I never really grew up around race cars. I never was introduced to a race car till I was like 10 years old. We bought an antique midget and was going to Zephyr Hills and, you know, playing with the antique stuff, and just kind of one step went into the midgets, and the next logical step was a sprint car because my heart was definitely in the open wheel cars.
So when you got into the sprint cars, when you moved up into the TBRA, were you welcomed or was it tough?
First year wasn't too welcome. I think a lot of the guys just didn't know how to take me. A lot of them I had raced with, the guys I had raced with had no problems with me coming up. The guys that had no idea who I was, like, where's this girl coming from and what criteria does she have to run with us?
Yeah, I was going to ask Troy the same thing. A lot of kids go from go-karting into sprint cars. Is that where you were headed when you were in go-karting, or did you decide suddenly at the end, I think I'll try sprint cars because it looks like it's a whole lot more fun?
I think actually where I was headed was more towards the dirt late model, whether I had a choice or not. I happened to fall into the sprint car, something I always wanted to do ever since I was little, but pretty much my mom wasn't having that.
No. Your mom is the most intense woman around racing I've ever seen.
Yeah, she okay. gets pretty excited. But, no, sprint car, I was actually just hanging out at Dirt Devil Speedway, and some guy that runs around with a TBRA still, said something about driving a sprint car, and I thought he was crazy, and it turned out he pretty much was. And I drove for him for about half a year until I got picked up with Stan. And after that, it just kind of, next thing you know, I'm like 2 years, 3 years into this, I'm like, I think I'm a sprint car driver now.
So. There you go. And did it come fairly easily compared to running the go-kart? I mean,
it was a little tough. I mean, it has a lot more to relate than a go-kart. I've driven a full body car, and sprint car is much better. I like the steering's quick in a go-kart, steering's quick in an open wheel sprint car, and the full body cars, when they say taxi cab, they're nothing against them. I had a lot of fun when I did it, but they're a handful, and
they're heavy.
Oh yeah.
Very heavy.
Have you ever driven anything else besides sprint car?
I've done a little bit of testing in a late model. I've done some testing with the IRL and an Infiniti Pro car. But mostly sprints and midgets.
What was it like climbing in a full-bodied race car?
It was kind of boring. It's you let off the gas, and they talk about the car rolling in the corner. The car really just rolls in the corner. You know, in the sprint car, you lift it and right back in the gas. And with the full-body car, you really can't do that. You've really got to wait for the car to catch up.
Well, you know, these guys driving late models and stuff, they say they've got a lot going on inside the car. But you guys, I mean, you're adjusting wings, you're adjusting brake bias, and the steering wheel sitting there flat like this. And how does that just come naturally, or do you learn that?
You know, I think driving a car with the steering wheel up and down is foreign to me. That feels odd to me because I'm just so used to driving flat steering wheel.
I pretty much agree. I got in a stock car and they were putting the steering wheel on, and I'm like, how are you supposed to turn this?
Yeah, like, wait a minute, where's the steering wheel?
Wouldn't it give you an advantage driving a sprint, having been proficient in a sprint car? Wouldn't it give you an advantage driving a late model?
You would think, but you get in those things and they're so heavy. And they're so, like, the wheels, like, the tires are so skinny. Like, the first time I went in the corner, I went in, like, 3 miles too deep. And they're like, no, you got to lift back there. And I'm like, well, we run
lift.
The track. I know, we run this track, and we don't lift there.
Yeah,
you know?
It's lightweight.
Like, you know, and you're going in there, and
Tony Stewart don't lift.
Yeah, but well, a lightweight sprint car, you let off the gas, it slows down.
But, I mean, Dave Steele said it best. We were joking around one time, and he drove a dirt modified, and it's true. He said he was busier than a three-legged cat doing something, but I ain't going to.
Oh, come on. We could have made history here.
And that's pretty much how it is. You're turning that wheel a lot more than you are in a sprint car.
It's awesome. And it's can you tell that? Have you run without wings at all, either one of you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you tell the big difference there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We ran the Little 500 twice, and that's just, it's totally different. And then when you come back to the wing, you just are so much more gutsy, thinking, okay, well, I know this wing's going to plant me, so let me drive in about 15 foot deeper than I usually do.
Yeah, that's true. After
and it doesn't work, huh?
Oh, no.
No, not usually.
I'll come back to you, but how was the Little 500? How was that experience?
You had a really
I've been
good
there,
finish
I've seen
this last
that.
One, didn't you?
You know, I went up there with not really knowing what to expect the first time I ran it. You know, I see all these guys getting pulled out of their car at the end of the race. They're extremely tired. They can't make it. Or, like in Troy's case, 9 laps in the race. But, you know, my first year, we ran 469 laps the first time. We started 32nd and finished 11th. We were really, really happy just to be running at the end of the race. I didn't care how many laps down I was or where my finish even was. And then we went back this year, and our goal was top 10. And we were amazed we actually finished 9th this year.
Wow. That's awesome.
No doubt. But, I mean, what's that like, though? You know, you usually 25, 30 lap features, and it's nonstop 500 laps, pushing off, fueling. That's a lot of work. How do you prepare for that?
I didn't. I mean, I just kind of just went up there and said, whatever happens, happens. You know, we're going to do the best that we can. And believe it or not, to me, it was a lot easier. The downforce of the wing just takes so much out of you when you're driving that to drive 500 laps in a non-wing car really was nothing. I got out of the car, and I'm like, let's go again. You know, the car was set up. I'm sure that if you're fighting the car all 500 laps, that it's probably no fun. But, you know, the 2 years we have run, I've been very lucky. The car has been very close to where we need it to be, make adjustments in the car as the fuel burns off. But it's really fairly easy to drive.
Are you going
to
do this Florida 400 at DeSoto Super Speedway?
No, unfortunately, we've decided not to do that.
Yeah.
George Rudolph actually rented me a motor. We'll be running that in his 68 this year.
And that's in December.
Troy,
7th, 8th, and 9th.
When you went to the 400
laps,
you
know what
it is? 400 a little different.
Yeah, I'm taking her approach next year. See me, I trained for a couple weeks, and
when what did you do training? Just
I ran
cardio.
I ran a lot. A buddy of mine, John Nervo, who ran Silver Crown cars for a while, told me to put some weights and watch TV on your side and strengthen your neck. And I didn't even get a heat race into it, and I was out. And
Physically or just somebody else made a mistake?
No, I wrecked, and I looked at the video. At the time, I was like, man, that happened fast, and I didn't really. But I wrecked. It was pretty much my fault, and it just things happen quick there, and you know.
And you didn't do anything to prepare for your trip?
No, that's what I'm doing this year. I'm eating donuts.
Now, these girls got different muscle structure. They can probably run 500 miles in all kinds of cars.
You would not want to see me riding 500 miles. That'd be a scary sight.
How many more we got?
Two more.
Two more?
I want to talk to Bill Hartley.
We will.
Let him come up here right now. You guys stay right where you are.
We're going to go to a 15-minute break, and then we're going to bring Bo.
We're
going to
have a 15-minute break?
No,
cool.
We got 20 minutes left.
We're
going to take a 2-minute break. I'm playing the same break I played last time, and I'm going to cut it short.
But it's not time yet. Crying out loud, you guys.
Really,
Wendy, who's your sponsors? Who helps you with the race car?
I have to say a big, big thank you to JB Banta Enterprise Logistics. They have been an incredible sponsor this year. Not only a sponsor, but a big supporter. He really believes in me, you know, just me, whether the money was there or not. 4-Star Wax Products has been amazing. Tantra Tanning Salons, D&D Crane Service, Eagle Jet International. We've had a great bunch of sponsors this year, and really I say thank you to all of them.
What race did you win? What was the first race you won? First TBR?
It was November 9th, 2002, down at Charlotte County.
That's a hell of a racetrack to win on.
Buddy.
Yeah. Oh, not bad. Not bad at
Troy?
All.
Pretty much, it's pretty simple. My mom and dad, George Rudolph, that's pretty much it. Sponsors are needed.
Well, you guys, this weekend, DeSoto Super Speedway. We'll see you all out there. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Try to get on the front stretch. We want to see you talking.
Yep.
Thanks.
All right, Bill.
Wow.
Take us out.
Sure. All right. Don't go far, folks. We're coming back in the last 20 minutes. It'll be a fast 20 minutes. We got Sprint cars.
Where's Charlie?
Inside, all over. Bring them on down. You're the next contestants on Real Racing USA.
CarNag.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNag.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNag.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNag gets it done.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back a vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and U.S. 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
You what now? How's that? Oh, closer, like this. Okay. Welcome back to Real Racing USA.
That was Bo Hartley.
Yeah, Bo kept...
He's trying to take our job. I don't want his job.
Nah, Bo, that was all right. Bo, how long have you
Bo
been
doing... Bo knows sprint cars.
How long have you been doing this, Bo?
I've been racing sprint cars, let's see, this is my 16th season.
16 years...
Are we back from commercial?
Wow.
Yeah, we're back
we just
from commercial.
Came back.
Oh, very cool.
What's Bo the, Hartley brought us back.
Now, did you run any of the dirt asphalt swap over?
I've never raced a sprint car on dirt. Okay. Just like everybody else who raced go-karts, I raced go-karts on dirt before I went to sprint cars.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, this is a cool organization and stuff. You're 16 years, and you've seen a couple of presidents. You've seen a couple of things going on in the TBRA. What do you account the success of this organization to?
Two major things. First and foremost would be Don Ream. He puts a lot of effort into it. He has fantastic relationships with the racetracks, the racetrack owners, some of our associate sponsors that come on board that help propel things forward. He's really made a big effort. He keeps in touch with these people and travels to the shows to meet them and keep them involved in the club. And the other part of it is you've just seen over the last several years the quality of cars has increased exponentially. It used to be you go to a TBRA race, there might be four or five cars capable of winning. Now there's 10 or 12 cars on any night that are very competitive that can win a race.
Absolutely. You know, I announced that at DeSoto, and, I mean, this year the cream has risen to the top with the TBRA. The competition is intense out there.
Yeah, there's not too many junkers in the field anymore.
No doubt.
We don't need field fillers anymore. There's a lot of good cars that show up to race, and most of the time, there might be a few guys that have some problems that particular night, mechanical problems or whatever, but most of the time, it's everybody on the track is fast-paced.
I've asked everybody that's been up here so far, you know, how did you get into sprint car racing?
Well, you probably know my dad, Sonny Hartley.
Right.
He started racing back at Golden Gate in 72, and, of course, I was 8 years old at the time, racing quarter midgets, and we're a racing family, obviously, so I wasn't allowed to race in high school and college. When I got out of college, we had a go-kart sitting in the garage. I started racing it. And quite honestly, I didn't really like that too much. I didn't like having no protection over the top of me, no seat belts or anything. So I started talking to my dad about selling the go-kart and getting something with a cage. And next thing I know, he bought me a sprint car to race. And so as a kid and as an adult, my dad has supported my racing. I'm 42 years old now. He's still supporting my racing.
Well, you've seen your dad's car from way back then. What is the changes you've seen in sprint cars, the basic changes in sprint cars?
The high-tech has made it to the grassroots, basically. You heard Don talking about people messing with shocks and things like that. I don't think anybody's rented a wind tunnel time yet. We've kind of rigged up a poor man's wind tunnel the other day, put some ribbons on the car and started a leaf blower and blew at it and see what the ribbons would do. But you see a lot more of the technology that used to be only in the high-dollar teams have made it down to our level. It's amazing how light we have these cars now and how strong they are, how fast they are. We're pushing on the 700 horsepower with a 360 engine now with a stock valve angle.
You know, the Rudemans used to say that they used to take their car. It was the only place that had one of those pressure washers in the car wash in Zephyr Hills. It was the first one around. And they'd take them down there and do just that, watch the air go over that top wing and decide where they wanted to put it, to how much downforce they were getting, and take it to the track. So you're right. I mean, that's the way to do it. You leaf blowers, whatever it takes, man. The poor man's wind tunnel.
That's right.
Jack, ask a question. You ain't have the damn thing.
I got to tell you, see,
he's still in the fog.
I heard him order a Bloody Mary a little while ago. I think he's still waiting on that.
I'm always in awe of these guys. You know, I was at Charlotte County Speedway a few years ago, and Don Ream was laughing at me at the end of the night because I went down the infield, and you guys, and so I stayed in the infield. And, you know, I've been in the infield watching races and taking pictures of Charlotte many times, but I never realized how small it was until you guys were out there. I couldn't wait for you guys to get done. I mean, it was like, it was overwhelming. And it was, I'm always in awe of you guys for what you
know. It's like an ice skater when you're in the infield. You're watching one side, you go right around, watch them, and then you try to get back.
You know, because I can understand. I'm a race fan, you know, and I can understand. A late model, I can understand that kind of thing. Like what you guys do is something beyond. Like I can't get a grip on it.
I stood in the flag stand.
Can't get my head around it, man.
And announce the race from the flag stand. Never again.
It'll lift you off the ground. Cool.
Well, for one thing, they look like they're coming at you when they come out of turn four.
I told somebody.
The other thing is the sandblasting they give you. I don't know how wild those stands up there. Way to go, Jack. You don't need
when
that
I had
damn
Short
thing.
Track USA, I went up in the flag stand at East Bay for the start of the Winter Nationals one time to take a picture. All I wanted was a picture of them coming off the corner, and it almost blew the camera out of my hand. It blew my hat off into the crowd, and all kinds of stuff happened.
It takes your breath away.
Yeah, it absolutely.
It literally takes your breath away.
Well, I heard a lot of people who have seen sprint cars for the first time or hadn't been up close to them say the same thing you said. They're just amazed how fast they are compared to some of the other classes they see running at the racetracks. But those of us that have driven them for a while, we're used to it.
Yeah, but you guys do like 11-second laps. Crap. I mean,
yeah, like when I watch TBARA races, it's like I'm not watching the race so much. It's like just an experience to see the whole totality of the whole thing.
I got a new question for you, Bo, and that would be, when's a track get too big? When does it get too long and you get too fast?
Well, I'll relate a story. Several years ago, when the new Lakeland Speedway was built, that's a 3/4 mile track, they started talking about maybe staging a wing sprint car race there. And I said, no way. We're already going to New Smyrna's the biggest track we race on. We're already almost hitting 140 there. And unfortunately, some of us have had the experience of hitting the wall going that fast, and it hurts. And so a place like Lakeland is half again as long. Our top speeds there probably approach 160, 170. And then with a wing on it, if you spin the car around backwards, you'll probably lift it off the ground and put it over the top of the top row of the fence. So we voted that down pretty quick. So to answer your question, I think New Smyrna Speedway, the half-mile track we run on with the wing, is about as fast as most of us want to go in a sprint car.
Wow. Because I think Kenny Adams did the testing at Lowe's? And he said he went 155 and he just didn't like it. He just plain didn't like it.
I know he went and ran a wing car at Bristol. They were talking about maybe running some wing sprint car races at Bristol back when they were trying to get more shows
maybe
in there.
Maybe that's where it was. But he's,
and I haven't talked to Kenny about that experience, but I'm sure it was pretty quick.
That's it, man. What's your favorite track?
I've had my best in the last 2 or 3 years, my best success at Ocala. I've always enjoyed that track. And I like Citrus, believe it or not. A lot of people don't like it because it's a little tight track, but it's a very racy track. It's a track where you can run side by side, and you really have to drive the car there. You can't just put it on cruise control.
So you like the two tougher ones.
I guess. To me, racing's all about driver. And even though we have to have a lot of car runners, I like to go to a track where the driver can make a difference. And so that's why I like those kind of racetracks there.
Now, your dad always looked like he was having a lot of success, even with the old chassis in the later years here, at Sunshine Speedway and places like that. He could get that thing to turn those old tracks.
Yeah, some people have a natural feel, and I think my dad's one of those. I've seen him jump in cars I thought were junk that I wouldn't want to drive and win features in them. Unfortunately, I didn't quite get all the talent he has, but he goes to a place like that where you really have to feel what the car is doing and be a little more judicious with your right foot. And he seemed to be able to hook it up pretty good and find what the car wanted and get it around.
Well, you ran a little 500.
Yes.
What was your experience like?
My first year there, like Wendy said in her first experience, I just wanted to finish the race. I didn't want to get in anybody's way. I didn't know what I had compared to some of those guys that raced up there a lot. And I wanted to get through it and see what it was all about. And fortunately, we did finish the race. We had a little engine trouble partway through the race. We were overheating. And I got several laps down, but we were still running at the end. And I outlasted all the other rookies and won Rookie of the Year that year. I've only been in it two other times and crashed out early both times. The last time was in 2000. I don't remember being there. That's how hard I hit.
Oh, man.
It's like they say the little 500, though, is if you can get through the start and get into about the 10th lap and you haven't run over anybody or they haven't run over you, you're probably in pretty good stead.
Well, that hasn't been my experience. I made it through that crash out on lap 150 the second time I raced it, and in the race I don't remember, I crashed out on the 55th lap. So I haven't had much luck getting going past 10 laps. It didn't seem to work for me.
So a lot of it's though getting in a rhythm, right, in a race that long.
I think so. It again, you're used to racing with the wings down here, so you got to again feel what the car is doing, know when to pick up the throttle. You're carrying a big fuel load to start your run to the pit stop, and at the end you're almost empty. So you got a lot of weight change in the process. You don't have the wing. Your tires are getting wore out. You got to gear yourself down to come in the pits and make a pit stop, and then get yourself geared back up to blend into traffic. It's a whole different experience, but it's really neat. I hope to be able to do it again sometime, but now that I've experienced it, I want to be able to go back and be competitive, and that's a whole different ballgame there.
How many cars do they start in that race?
They start it's
33.
Well, first of all, Anderson's a quarter-mile high-bank track,
right.
So it's about the size of Citrus, except with steeper banking.
Right.
And they start 11 rows of three. So 33 cars.
33 cars. That's probably called the little 500. It's always the night before the big 500.
And how many people show up to make that 33?
I think the first year I went to try to qualify, I didn't make the race. I think there were 51 cars there that year. I think it's tailed off recently because to be competitive, there just takes so much bigger an effort than it used to be. You got to have lightning quick pit stops. You have to have the fuel apparatus to get the fuel in the car quick, enough people to change the tires quick, and all that. So,
and the grandstand.
Now, did I get that right? That young lady that was just up here, Wendy Mathis, finished
ninth. Oh no, eighth and
no, 11th and ninth.
Ninth and 11th.
Wow.
But the grandstands hold probably 15,000. Something like that? Quarter mile?
I don't know if it's quite that
big.
They're
stacked way up. There's like 44 rows straight up, and it's up.
Yeah, I know they fill the grandstands up for that race. The city of Anderson really supports that racetrack very well, and the racetrack owners there have ingratiated themselves in the community up there better, I think, than any racetrack I've ever been to. They do a real good job of being a part of the community there, and the community responds by supporting
them. The track
them.
Owner told me he doesn't have any noise problem because there's so many people in there, and it's such
it
a bowl,
it
the noise
it.
Goes straight up in the air.
That's
it don't
right.
go anywhere downtown.
That's right.
Cool. It's an awesome track and awesome race, and it's just a cool field to get into.
I want to interject something here real quick.
Yeah.
You had these rookies up here, the 16, 17-year-olds earlier, and I just want to say, as someone who's been around the sport for quite a while, they've done a fantastic job. A lot of times when you have guys that jump out of a go-kart into a sprint car, I know when I did it, it surprised me how much horsepower they had, and it got away from me pretty quick. So that's always your concern when you have a rookie out there. Are they going to be in your way? Are they going to lose the car or whatever? And they've done an excellent job this year. As a matter of fact, I think Michael Smith is running second or third in points right now as a rookie, as well as leading the rookie points. So he's really done a good job, and Eric's done an excellent job. He's coming along real good. As he told you, he won a heat race this year. And you had Troy DeCare up here. He's only been racing 3 years. He's already won several races. So you're asking Don about the future of our club, and it's people like that that have come along. Not only are they good drivers, but they handle themselves very well in the race car and out of the race car, and that's the future of our club.
So do you guys help them when you have the rookie field come in each year? Do the guys like yourself, do you help these guys along?
And it's not just
the rookies. Or do they got to make it on their own?
No, it's not just the rookies. We all help each other all along. You mentioned something about it being family-oriented. And it's family in more ways than one. Where any of you grew up with siblings, y'all fought all the time, but you loved each other to death, and that's the way we are. We might get mad at each other and get out and start throwing punches and all that kind of stuff, and next week you're best friends again. And if anybody's having a problem, they have a mechanical problem, there's something you can do to help them, people jump in there and do it.
I was going to say, there was a couple of owners and car drivers that over the years have told me they're always worried, not about those young rookies, the 16, 17, 18-year-olds, because they will listen to you, but it's that guy who's 44 and used to race light models and decided he's going to go sprint car racing that shows up that you got to sometimes worry about.
Fortunately, I've never really experienced that.
Dave Pletcher.
No, Dave did a good job. He was a good driver.
Dave was a real good racer.
Dave is great in everything.
The thing, too, about the guys who run the taxi cabs, they have to be more aware of what's around them because they don't have to worry about getting over somebody's wheel because they have fenders. So they got these mirrors in the car, and they really have to be aware of what's around them. And so when they get in a sprint car, they seem to have that sixth sense that we develop in the open-wheel cars without the mirrors. They seem to have that sixth sense about what's around them, how much room to give them, and all that kind of thing. So when he came in the sprint car, he adapted real well. He was a good driver.
That's awesome. It's been pretty cool. It's so cool to go see one. If you're out there, ladies and gentlemen, you've never seen a sprint car race, you've never seen a race at all, go to DeSoto Speedway this week, watch the sprint cars, and you'll be hooked for life, I guarantee it.
Well, who's some of the sponsors on your race car helps you race?
Well, my car owner is Robert Stevenson, and his business is Stevenson International Shipping, and that is the sponsor on my car. He's really stepped up our program in the last few years. He made the commitment to get a new car built. We did that 2 years ago. We have a brand new engine in the car this year, one of those top of the line professionally built engines that never gives you any trouble and puts you up front if you can drive it. And so we've got a first class program going now with what he's put into it.
Well, hopefully everybody remind Don Ream this Saturday night that when you guys finish racing, I want the winner to call me on the air for Short Track
we'll
Live after the races.
We'll range
that. Because it's always
Bo, it's great having you on the show, brother.
Great to be here.
Next time we get another one going, we'll definitely have you back on, man.
Great. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bo Harlan,
real quick before we end the show, let's talk about Jack Noling up here real quick.
Jack, come on, hurry. We got about 3 or 4 minutes. That's all you got to put up.
Come on down.
We got all night.
Jack's.
Yeah, we do.
Jack's looking. Jack's looking slimmer. I think he trimmed his hair.
I've been beat you up, Bill.
How long have you owned race cars?
Oh, mercy.
Slide them up here close, but how long?
How long have I owned them?
I don't know. It's been
ever since you can remember, right?
30 years? It's been 25 or so?
Probably 30 years.
30 years? God.
I got inducted a little 500 this year, Hall of Fame, so that made me feel pretty good.
Yeah, because I mean, I know you probably don't go that far, but I could have swore you ran at Golden Gate. But it's been a while. You've been around it for a while.
Jack, real quick, while we got it up here, we're going to cover this real quick tonight, but we're going to have you back on before this whole deal goes on.
Okay.
The Florida 400.
Florida 400.
Where did we come up with this idea?
Tell us about it. Where did we come up
Talk
with this
about idea? It. What do you want to know about it?
Where did you come up with this idea to try a 400?
$56,000 purse. We hope we get some TBRA boys here. I've had Eric Gordon enter. We've got 12 cars entered so far. We're really not worried about it, but we need some of these boys to enter down here, you know. We're going to pay an extra $1,000 for 360s, best finish, you know.
Oh, cool.
What kind of cars are we expected to see? Wingless.
How many cars?
Wingless. I mean, the PRA, the big cars, the UTAC cars, just
non-wing.
Non-wing sprint cars. Any kind.
360, 410, any of them.
Pardon?
Can be 360, 410, any of them?
410, 360s.
This is like the week of the PRI show, right? Or something,
yeah.
Right around there?
Not a PRI show.
No, I understand, but it's the same time.
In that neighborhood?
Same time as. Got a lot of people in Florida.
Okay, PRI was going to sanction the show. And we started out at $2,000, their sanction fee. Well, it ended up, after three meetings, it ended up $10,000. So John and I and two other boys decided we'd do it on our own. I've run racetracks before. I know almost everybody here. Everybody knows me some way or another. You know what I mean? So we're going to put it on and do our thing, you know.
Well, that's cool.
Put the money back in the guy's pockets, the racer's pockets.
No doubt, man. Well, we're gonna dedicate a whole show to this thing.
Yeah, we're gonna have
coming
to.
Up by the end
that.
Of November. By the end of November, we'll have a bigger list of drivers that are gonna be around for that show. So, Jack, it's great for you to show up for this TBRA show. I know you know a lot of these people, and like I said, we'll get this show on the road.
Okay, appreciate it very much.
Hey, we got to talk about TV.
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 That's right.
MASHTHEGAS.TV.
That's right. If you want to see our ugly mugs after all these years, go ahead and check it out.
No, they got all kinds of videos. We'll check it out tonight. I haven't seen it myself, but they have a lot of videos from the TBRA.
Don Vinson, is that his name?
Yep. We got to think about 400.
He owns the 52 car that Joey the Ace Aguilar drives. He's taping us tonight.
Silk cheeks.
Got some TV.
That's scary.
Up.
Scary thought.
Man, we got to thank all these people that were in the house tonight. Eric McMillan, Bo Hartley, Joey the Ace Aguilar, Paulie Milam, Don Ream, Michael Smith, Wendy Mathis, Charlie Ladner. We didn't get him on the air. Troy DeCare and Don Vinces, MASHTHEGAS.TV.
Taylor Andrews. Phone calls.
Got to thank Budweiser.
Sprint Car Bruce
in the house. Good to see him again.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man, Father Time.
Father Time.
Bill Hunt. Thanks, buddy.
Father Time.
It's that
Bill
time
Hunt.
Of night, ain't it?
Oh, yes.
Is it that time of night?
Take it to the limit, brother.
Real Racing USA.
Take care of yourself. We'll see you next week
night.
With a brand new show, Real Racing USA.
7 to 9 p.m.
right here at the Smith River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in Bradenton, Florida. Good night now.
One more time.